I control the directions that are always being given to me from my surroundings. This is Dr. Harrell Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. I control the directions that are always being given to me from my surroundings. Now, what kind of directions do we get from our surroundings? Well, first is the weather, you know. But baby, it's cold outside, you know, and it's so hot, and it's raining. Not raining, no, it's raining violets, you know. And there's that song about the snow, too, you know. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. And the weather is always a topic. Now, it is always something that people have a tendency to use as a controlling influence in their life. And I control the directions that are always being given to me by my surroundings. Now, if I'm walking through a field, and it's a lovely field, and I think to myself, oh, I just feel so great. I can walk straight through that field, and it's as though there's a little path in front of me. I don't have to push weeds aside. I don't have to push bushes aside. It's just, I just walk right straight through it, right straight through the tall grass or whatever it is I'm walking through. And if I'm walking through up in the mountains, and I feel good about myself, and I feel wonderful, and I'm in charge of my surroundings, I just walk right straight up the side of the mountain, and as I go, the perfect footholds are always there, the perfect handholds are always there, the perfect way to climb up is there. And when I feel good about myself, as I did the other day, I was coming down off the top of the mountain, and I came to the edge, and I looked down, and I thought, that's pretty straight down. And I thought, yeah, that's nice, and I'm sure there's a path there just for me. And so I headed down this, other people would call crazy, trek, going straight down the side of the mountain, and there was a path going off this way and off that way, just like the rocks had split in certain ways, and the animals over the years had used that as a way to go down the side of the mountain, and I used it too, all the way down to the bottom, all the way down. And it was several hundred feet. It was quite a ways. But I got down to the bottom, relaxed, because it was not a strenuous walk. It was sort of a serpentine trail, as the rocks would open up here and open up there and just be there for you. Now, why is it that life is not like that at all times? Life is not like that at all times because we don't take control of the directions that are given us by our surroundings. The directions that were given me by my surrounding coming down that mountainside were, don't go down there. You fall down and break your crown, you know, and Jill won't come tumbling after. So you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful. And you know, when you're 25 years old, you got to be careful too, because it just isn't the same as when you were 2 years old and 3 years old, you know. But no, I went right straight down and had a wonderful time. And then, as I'm driving in the car, I say, I am the pure white light of love. I surround this car with my pure white light of love. All my ways are peace and all my paths are pleasantness, and the way is open before me. And I say that not with a command or not with a demand, but with a revelation, with a recognition, with an understanding that that's the way it is. And lo and behold, that's the way it is. Now, why don't we do this with everything in our life, every area in our life? We can. But we have a tendency to think, oh, that's too much. Now, say to yourself, I am independently wealthy. Now, what's that got to do with your environment? What does that got to do with controlling the directions that are always being given to me by my surroundings? Oh, quite a few, quite a few. Think of it this way. Your surroundings tell you that you're poor. Your surroundings tell you that you don't have any money. Your surroundings tell you that you have a modest or a poor or no car at all. Your surroundings tell you that you don't have a boat, you know. Your surroundings tell you that you don't have a beautiful motorhome. You don't have any motorhome. And you'd love to have a motorhome to go to the beach and to go traveling with. It's kind of fun. And your surroundings tell you you haven't got it. Okay, so What do you do? How do you accomplish whatever it is you want in your life? When I walked to the edge of the cliff, I looked down and I saw it quite steep. And I said, there's a path there for me. And it was. When we come to a choice and we say, I'd like to have a motorhome, we say, I'd like to have a motorhome. And I have my motorhome. There is a way. I have my motorhome. My motorhome is there just waiting to be revealed to me. And lo and behold, friends come up with their motorhome and they say, can we leave it here? And you say, of course, would you mind if I used it? Oh, we would hope that you would, because we'd like to keep it in good condition. So, yes, you surely can use it. And so then you got a motorhome. Now, you think that's silly. You know, you think that's strange, but that's quite ordinary, quite ordinary. Why do people have their friends parking their extra cars in their yard or their extra motorhomes in their drive or something? Because of that very reason. Now, you can create people parking their vehicle in your yard as a bother and a pain in the neck, or you can create them parking there because they want you to use it and enjoy it and treat it just like your own. I went sailing with a friend one evening. I had written a story about his business. He's a building contractor. And we went out sailing in his 20-foot Viking sloop, lovely little boat, and he let me sail it, because he was just enjoying another beer and so forth. And so I sailed, and I hadn't really, it had been a long time since I'd been sailing when I was a kid, and I just remembered most of it. And he said, hey, you do that pretty good. You know, I lucked out, you know. And so I said, thank you very much. I enjoy it. I said, I love to go sailing. I'd love to go sailing every day. He said, well, I got an extra sail in the trunk of my car. You take that and go whenever you want. And don't worry about whether I need it or not. You just go, because I don't really need it that much, you know. And to have someone use it is great. And now it'll be up for dry dock for about 2 weeks while they're painting the bottom and scraping it and getting everything ready, you know. And but I'll tell you when they're going to do that so that you don't plan something at that time. I said, hey, you know, you're cool. So then I bought a little book in the bookstore for maybe $1.95 at that time. And it was just a little paperback like this, How to Sail. And so I took that book with me, and I went out sailing in the bay and in the ocean, and I read the book while I was sailing, learning to do these things and practicing, and pretty soon I was pretty good at it. I was pretty good at sailing. All the things that I had always done came back to me, and I was really quite good at it. Now, that was nice. And then I thought, gee, I'd like to go water skiing, you know. But our little dinghy isn't big enough to pull a motor big enough behind it to pull me out of the water. And so one of my clients said to me, Herb, I want you to watch over my house on the waterfront there. I'll be away for a while. And he says, by the way, Herb, you know where the keys are for all my boats and stuff that are out front. Go use whatever you want. I have this beautiful 18-foot Chris craft there, a powerhouse, you know. Go take that, go skiing. Take your family out and your friends out and just have a ball. And I said, well, thank you, Carl. That's wonderful, Carl Quant, you know. And I said, thank you very much. And so here I had this beautiful house, you know, overlooking the bay there and the ocean, and several boats down there, and this beautiful Chris craft, and filled with gas always. You know, there's plenty of gas there in a tank on the shore. And it was wonderful. And I would go out, and Mark was 8 or 10 or maybe 12, 8 or somewhere like that. And he would drive the boat and pull me behind it water skiing, which was a no-no now. But then they didn't think how dangerous that was. Here, this little kid driving and pulling a water skiing boat, you know, and having his father behind him. And there wasn't a watcher to say somebody's down, you know, or what have you like that. But he'd turn around every once in a while and look to see if I was still there. And occasionally he'd come back when he saw that I had flipped over a wave or something. But I didn't flip over a wave very often. I handled it very nicely. And it was fun. But you see, I wanted to have a boat to go water skiing. I didn't want it as a passion. I thought that'd be nice to have a boat to go water skiing. And so then what did I do? I took out all my friends with me. I took out Lauren Flickinger, who was the minister of the Unity Church there, a very dear friend. We'd been in Silent Unity together, and various other places. Just a great guy. And so we'd go water skiing. And he was very good at it, too. And we did lots of good things. But you see, this is what it is by I control the directions that are always being given me by my surroundings. And your surroundings say, you have or you have not. Now, what do you want your surroundings to say? I have. I enjoy. I enjoy all of life's goodies. I enjoy all of the opportunities that are a blessing to me. I enjoy good meals. Carl Quant used to come into town from his ranch out in Bakersfield, where he had about 100,000 acres or a couple square miles or better of cotton that he raised. And then he had another portion of corn. Then he had the center of Mount San Jacinto, where he gave away the center to the Mount San Jacinto Junior College, and then he made a housing development around it. And Ray has his home in the trailer park right next to the Mount San Jacinto College there. So, you see, he's quite happy to do it. Well, he'd come into town, and he didn't know anybody here. And so he'd say, Herb, come, let's go have dinner. Now, he should have said, Herb, bring your wife and your kid, and come on, we'll go out and have dinner. But he didn't. It was business. So he took me out, and we went to the New Porter Inn and other lovely, expensive places, and we had expensive meals, you know. There was no limit to it. And he just really enjoyed that. He enjoyed taking me out to do that. And we'd talk about the other business deals that he wanted to do, other real estate activities he wanted. And he'd say, take care of this, take care of that, take care of the other thing. And I did. And it worked out very nicely, and rewarded me handsomely. But you see, this is what happens when you just let go. You don't say, I envy you. You got everything. I envy you. You don't need to own what you have and enjoy, but just have it and enjoy it. And Carl took care of his own Chris craft. He had the people come and pull it out of the water and clean it up every now and then. And he had everything done. He had a gardener on the property, and he had all that stuff. I didn't have to worry about a thing. And the refrigerator is always filled with goodies, you know. So it was kind of a nice arrangement. But you see, you don't need to own everything that you have. You can enjoy it. Now, a monk at a monastery here has everything. All the monks who are here at the Absolute Monastery, they have two swimming pools, they have two jacuzzis, and one that's heated at 104 all the time, quite warm, and the pool is great, and they have 104 acres with miles and miles and miles of meditation trails. They have all these houses, so many houses that all of them aren't even being used, you know, and they have friends who come up here and who say, wow, what a wonderful atmosphere you have here. What a beautiful place. And the monks don't own a thing. And they're happy not owning it. They're saying, I don't have responsibility. Mine is just to enjoy. Oh, true, I will go and do a little chore here and there and a little thing here and there, but no big deal. Mine is to be here and enjoy. To do my meditation, to listen within, to do all the things that are exciting for me to do. That's what my purpose is. And you see, it's a wonderful thing. This is what life is all about, and this is what we are all about. We are all about not being controlled or not being under the control of the directions that are always given us by our surroundings, but we make the directions given us by our surroundings a joy for us. The directions are, be yourself and have fun. The directions are, life is wonderful. The directions are, I like me, I like me, I like me. So think on these things. They are kind of fun. They're kind of exciting. And as for a thought for today, I control the directions that are always being given to me by my surroundings. That's not always negative. In fact, it doesn't ever have to be negative. It can always be positive. It can always be wonderful, and it can always be good. Have a wonderful day, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you.